Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Wonderful to be here today for another great show. Nice to see you today, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. Great to see you on this gorgeous day, or semi-gorgeous day. In comparison to how the rest of the week's going to be, I got to say, today is a great day to take your dog for a walk.
It is.
Stock up if you can.
Yeah, I know. It was sunny this morning, and I was like, wait a minute, where am I?
Yeah.
So, now, did you have a nice Valentine's Day?
It was interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I've got a girlfriend now, which is nice. And it's been a while since I've had a girlfriend on Valentine's Day.
A lucky lady.
I'd like to think so. But unfortunately, we had to go to the ER the day before because she had some pain. So she was all woozy on painkillers on Valentine's Day itself. So it was a very sedated Valentine's Day. But that's all right.
Literally.
Yes.
Now, does she have a dog?
She does have a dog.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. What kind of dog?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I will find out.
Well, that's a good sign, Eric, that she has a dog.
I think so.
Yeah. So today we've got a few different things.
Wait. How was your Valentine's Day?
Oh, it was great.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And that's another thing is that I guess maybe it's a good thing, but I don't talk enough about myself, I hear. Like, people don't know that I actually work with dogs and training and behavior in the Seattle area. My company, Sensitive Dog. SensitiveDog.com is my website.
And aren't all dogs really sensitive underneath?
Well, sensitive, the reason I chose that is I looked up actually the definition. Mm-hmm. And it's about looking at all of the senses.
Mm.
So I don't just work with
touchy-feely dogs.
Yeah. I mean, actually, quite the contrary. I work with all different types of personalities.
Right.
But I do believe that. I guess it's like being sensitive in all the different ways that we can listen. And I'm actually going to be talking about that today.
Excellent.
I did have a great Valentine's Day because I got to do two things, two of my many favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
One, I got to talk about dog food and nutrition. Because I was at All the Best Pet Care on Queen Anne.
That's right. You had
for the How to Cook for Your Wolf with, I was guest chefing.
Or Hungry Like a Wolf, as I like to call it.
Yeah. So we were talking about nutrition and dog food, and I was helping one of the owners, Susan Moss, and she was making up these freeze-dried, dehydrated diets that you just reconstitute with water. So they're less processed than dry kibble. And it's actually smelled really good, and we got to feed it to the dogs that were there, and they loved it, and that was really fun. And then, so that was earlier in the evening, and then Darcy and I went out to dinner to a fairly new, I think, restaurant in Seattle called Poppy, and it was delicious.
Now, do they cook with poppies?
I don't know.
Or is it just some guy named Poppy?
It's just the name, no.
Okay.
P-O-P-P-Y. It was small plates and very, one of those like really interesting ingredients, great flavor combinations.
Mm.
So it was a lovely Valentine's Day.
Excellent.
Yeah. So the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show is coming up in about a month, less than a month now. And it's a wonderful event. It's so much fun. We're going to be there again with a booth for the radio show. So come by and say hi to us. You can get your free car sticker. March 12th and 13th at Quest Field Event Center, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days, Saturday and Sunday. Confirmation breed shows, which is like your dog show, like what you see at like Westminster where they're trotting around the ring and judging the dogs based off of their appearance and build and personality too. Obedience trials, rally trials, agility trials, herding demonstrations, meet the breeds. Seattle Police Department will be there with their canine units, dog and person dancing, also known as freestyle, and of course our booth. And you can go to seattlekennelclub.org for more information about them. It's a wonderful event. We look forward to it every year. I hear that Pet Finder is having some technical difficulties. Pet Finder is a website that people can search for dogs that are in need of homes. So it's a great way to adopt a dog from a rescue and a various smaller rescue organizations. Post on Pet Finder. How I know this is that Kim Howard, who runs Three Rivers Rescue in Snoqualmie, which is a wonderful rescue, let us know about that. And Darcy works with her a lot in finding service dogs for her clients. Darcy uses all dogs from rescue or adoption situations rather than dogs bred for it specifically. So it takes a little bit longer to find them, but wonderful dogs. That's Three Rivers Rescue in Snoqualmie. If you're looking to adopt or know someone who is, they have really, really great dogs there. Kim Howard, you can call her at 425-888-9322, 425-888-9322. Normally, she has all of her dogs posted on Pet Finder, but I guess they're experiencing some technical difficulties. I have a basic obedience class. Tonight, I do it Wednesday nights. Tonight is our graduation, and then I have another one starting next Wednesday, February 23rd, 7:30 to about 8:45. They're at the Barking Lounge, which is in South Lake Union neighborhood, just north of downtown Seattle. And if you are interested in more information, you can email me, host@dogtalkshow.com, or you can check my training website out, sensitivedog.com. So I was in Idaho last weekend, briefly. Uh-huh. Darcy and I drove a service dog in training out to Idaho to this woman who is a good friend of mine and someone who I actually learned from when I was an apprentice at the Academy of Canine Behavior. Her name's Jennifer Lackey, and she's the owner of the Dog Ranch. And they're right outside of Boise in Nampa. So if you're in that area and you need a trainer, go to Jennifer's website, mydogranch.com. So we drove a dog out on Saturday, 8 hours, and then drove back on Sunday.
I would like to say thank you very much for the 20 pounds of potatoes that you brought me back as a souvenir.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So Jennifer had this book, and it's this
Raise and Train a Puppy.
Yeah. It's easy to raise and train a puppy in your house or apartment. $1. And it was copyrighted in 1950.
Mm.
And I'm not sure where they found this book, but it's been really interesting to read this book that gives basic, here is everything you need to know about canine food, health, training, and control to make your dog a perfect house pet. Instructions are clear, concise, and authoritative.
Now, 60 years on,
mm-hmm.
there may have been some changes in people's thinking about...
Oh, maybe. Yes. So in this, you know, I was reading through it, you know, kind of out of curiosity, and this is obviously only one book that came out of the 50s, so I can't say that this speaks for everybody then, but...
Is there stuff in there on how to figure out if your dog's a communist?
No.
Because it seems like at the time.
No, that's not in this one. Not
okay.
that I found
anyway.
Because
it does kind of look like Joe McCarthy training a puppy on the cover there.
So it was by Bob Becker.
Uh-huh.
And I was flipping through and we get to this point called, right at the beginning, general feeding tips. You know, and there's some differences, obviously. So pet food, commercial pet food, has not been around for that long.
Mm-hmm.
Considering dogs have been living with people for at least 14,000 years, at least. Commercial pet food in the form, like in the bags of the dry pellets that we're so used to now, have only been around for 80 to 100-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this is 60 years ago. So commercial pet food that we consider sort of the norm now was actually newer then.
Mm. Probably changes in the formula over time,
yeah,
too, I
for
would
sure.
suspect.
Well, back then, there were only a few different options. And so he goes through his general feeding tips, and some, you know, these are kind of interesting. He recommends milk a lot, which I thought was interesting. You don't really see that anymore, for puppies anyway. Don't let anyone convince you that milk causes worms. That's 100% bunkum.
Was there a lot of people... thinking
well,
that
I guess
milk
so.
Caused
yeah,
worms
back then.
For puppies? Wow.
Now he says your dog is a carnivorous animal, now accustomed to eating many foods that humans eat. Therefore, your dog likes meat and thrives on a diet containing meat in some form. So, you know, you don't see that in the mainstream books, and certainly not the books produced by the larger companies, that really it's like the given that dogs are supposed to be eating actual fresh meat.
Mm-hmm.
We've really gotten away from that. And a lot of companies now are actually putting out literature. I won't name any names, but I might think of some rhymes that really discourage and try to scare people away from feeding fresh meat.
Mm.
But it's what really, it's what dogs have evolved eating for many, many, many thousands and thousands of years. So here's the one of interest to me. Number four, let your dog alone when he's eating. Don't permit the children to worry him during his meal. A dog has a right to demand to be left alone when it's mealtime, just as we like to be allowed to eat our dinner without interruption or annoyance.
That's probably a good point, don't you think?
Well, it's interesting, and it brings up a lot of good points, and I'm going to get into this more in the second segment. But, you know, you would not see that today, because I think it's what it points to is the difference in the shift of our experience of aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he says a dog has a right to demand to be left alone, how does a dog demand?
Barking.
They don't look at you and say, I demand that you leave me alone.
Right.
They don't say it with words. Dogs don't communicate with words. Dogs are nonverbal. So how do dogs communicate then? It's with action, energy, and for as far as demanding space and setting boundaries, they use aggression.
Mm-hmm.
But aggression is this kind of umbrella term that means a lot of different things, and there's been some collapses in it. So I'm going to talk more about that when we come back from break. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Their new Edmunds store, next to the PCC Natural Market, opens in late February. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next week, Michael Lindenberger will discuss mastering your workday and dream coach Joyce Chapman on how to develop beliefs that support your dreams.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. If you want to survive, the dog days are over.
The dog days are done. Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And I'm just about to start talking about dog aggression and I'm holding this little book that I borrowed from a friend, written in 1950. It's easy to raise and train a puppy in your house or apartment. What tips might they have in from 1950?
Yeah, 60 years ago.
60 years ago. It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost as long as commercial pet foods have been in existence. So, I was saying that this number four caught my eye, and I was sitting with my friend and very respected colleague, Jennifer Lackey, who is the owner of the Dog Ranch in Idaho, and we were there delivering a service dog, and she showed me this book. So I was flipping through it, and it says, "Let your dog alone when he's eating. Don't permit the children to worry him during his meal. A dog has a right to demand to be left alone when it's mealtime." Mm-hmm. Just as we like to be allowed to eat our dinner without interruption or annoyance. This caught my eye, and then I showed it to Jennifer, and then we were talking about it, and Darcy was there too, and we were just, as dog professionals, sort of reflecting on everything. And, you know, the...
It makes me wonder if that's a pet peeve for Bob Becker, of getting bothered while he's trying to eat his dinner.
I think so. I bet he demands to be left alone
when
it's mealtime.
That's right. He gets aggressive.
Yeah. Well, no. So that's a good point. Okay. People don't, it's discouraged for people to really be aggressive.
Right.
When we think of aggression, we think of, you know, causing harm. It's sort of got a negative attachment to it. Dogs.
Unless you're on the football field.
Well, right. Exactly. Or, you know, in movies or whatever. So, but with dogs, aggression for dogs in the context of dog communication is a way that dogs fundamentally communicate. And dogs, a well-socialized dog, has a huge range of aggressive behaviors, technically aggressive behaviors by definition, that they use to communicate, but it's not a bad thing. So a well-socialized dog, you know, it'll range from sort of an aggressive energy, tightening of the body, hardening of the glare. Their eyes get intense. Their mouth tightens. Their tail might get stiff. Shoulders forward, hackles up. All of those things is like painting a picture of how you can actually see a dog expressing themselves.
What's a hackle?
Hackles are the hair on the shoulders.
Well, so that's where that expression comes
shoulders
from.
Shoulders and kind of down the back, yeah.
Okay.
And so if a dog is aroused or aggressive, sort of, you know, then you'll often see the hackles up. Yeah. So, that doesn't cause harm. If a dog does any of those, doesn't cause harm. Okay, next level would be like growling. Low growl doesn't cause harm. Next level would be... baring their teeth, which is intimidating, but the action of baring one's teeth doesn't cause harm. Snapping, then you would, if those levels of communication were not effective for that dog in establishing the boundary or in communicating what they needed to communicate, they would have to escalate. Okay, baring teeth, snapping, so where you're actually rah, 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 like, opening and closing the mouth and in the direction of the person or animal that they are trying to correct. Still no contact made, not causing harm. And then that can get more intense. The snap could be just like one snap with not much of a vocalization to more of a lunge and snap with a more intense vocalization and like the dog kind of the equivalent of yelling at whoever it was. All the way up, and then there's contact. Maybe contact was made, but no harm was done. There was not actually a puncture wound, and then all the way up to actual biting. Then even within biting, there's differences. There's single bites, like you get bit and then that's it. Or there's bites where the dog clamps on and shakes. I mean, and that can get from relatively minor to more severe as well. And the thing is that we don't, as humans, generally speaking, we don't understand that aggression is a way that dogs communicate. Now we have these aggressive dog laws, which we do need. I mean, we do need some standard in place and some recourse for people to where if a dog is dangerously aggressive to either people or other dogs, that it does need to be handled. But the problem is that dogs that are showing aggression in a very natural, well-socialized, balanced way sometimes are getting pegged as dangerous dogs, and that can be threatening to their lives. Now, something that Jennifer said that struck me in our conversation, and this is my good friend and colleague who currently lives in Idaho, but Jennifer, we're hoping that you move back to the Seattle area soon. Jennifer Lackey, her website is mydogranch.com. She does dog training and behavior in Idaho in the Boise area. So she was the one who gave me this book, and we were talking about it, and she said, you know, these days we expect so much of dogs to be in human society and to live almost like people do, but yet at the same time we expect so little of them in terms of obedience and communication and work. And then I what came to me as I was thinking about this is actually we expect so much of dogs, but we really expect so little of ourselves in really being responsible for them, in, you know, understanding, to take it upon ourselves as someone who lives with a dog to understand how to communicate with them as dogs, because they're different animals than we are. Really, really amazing, beautiful similarities in how we can live together and connect so naturally. But the main thing is to get that dogs are not verbal. Mm-hmm. And dogs are, you know, they use their bodies, their action, and all this stuff that we, especially nowadays, have gotten so disconnected from because we're so in our head. So, you know, it's an injustice to dogs to expect so much of them, but really expect so little of ourselves and so little of them in terms of their capacity to be communicated with and to make choices and to learn. You know, an average dog has the capacity to learn 400 to 900 words. And when I ask most people, whether it be in a one-on-one private lesson or in a group class, a lot of people say, you know, when I say, how many words do you think a dog can learn? It's like 20, 50, maybe the optimistic ones. Mm-hmm. But it's hundreds, hundreds and hundreds. It's just a matter of doing it. And dogs are so in tune with us and really so capable. And so the problem, and Jennifer said she's seeing this in Idaho, and I'm definitely seeing it here too, there's, you know, heightened aggression due to frustration on the dog's part because they're not clear about what the expectation is, because we are not being clear in how we're communicated. We're not stepping up to the plate as far as showing them who is the leader. And it's not about having this authoritative, militant relationship with the dog, but it's about letting them know that somebody's in charge and that they don't have to worry about who's coming into the house. They don't have to worry about who we're walking by on the sidewalk, because they are with us. You are with me. So your job is to do, you know, what I'm telling you to do as far as the task, or to just walk with me and don't worry about what is out there. I've got it. So basically what you're doing is you're giving the dog security by taking that leadership role. Heightened aggression due to frustration because the dogs aren't clear about the expectation. And therefore, a lot of dogs end up in shelters for behavioral issues and are ultimately euthanized. And that's on us. You know, the situation with dogs is a mirror of us. It's a creation of us. And it's actually quite arrogant of us to expect so little of ourselves and just get a dog and treat them, you know, like you don't have to do anything with them to raise them and to learn how they communicate as dogs. So working with a dog, you know, requires presence. Dogs are really good judges of true leadership. You can't fake it with a dog. You know, we have to be focused, and it can be hard for us to slow down because now everything is faster internet, you know, 3G, 4G, high speed, fast. We want things faster. We want to be able to do as many things as we possibly can at once. And that doesn't work when you're working with a dog. They need us to be present, and it doesn't work in communicating with people either. Half of communication is listening, and if you're listening to a dog, you're not listening to the words that they're saying, but you're connecting to them in a different way, and that's energetic. It's about watching them. It's about being connected to how you feel, because working with dogs is very intuitive. It's about learning how to read their body language. And it can be hard with aggression because aggression is scary. Mm-hmm. We are animals too, and we don't want to get bit. So we have an animal reaction to aggression that's fear-based. And I remember when I was learning how to train, I was in an apprenticeship at the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell, which is where I met my friend Jennifer, who gave me this book. And the Academy gets a lot of aggressive dogs, like intensely aggressive dogs that no one else can work with. And so I got to watch some of the trainers there working and evaluating these dogs that were very, very dangerous. And I had a body reaction to that aggression. I mean, I was so scared just watching. I mean, I wasn't even having to work with the dog, but my heart rate increased and, you know, I had a fear reaction, a physical fear reaction. And that's what happens to us when, you know, when we see dogs being aggressive with each other, but a lot of times they're just working it out. Bark, 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 snap, snap, snap. Okay, fine. I won't jump on you again and that's it. And, you know, and that's what often happens. And there are certainly cases where dogs are not in control of themselves with aggression, humans too. And there are definitely dangerous dogs, and it is a problem, and it's not okay for dogs to be dangerously aggressive. But I just want, you know, we need to also let dogs be dogs and understand the difference, especially when it comes to labeling a dog as quote-unquote dangerous that might have them be euthanized just because they barked at somebody for walking by the house, something they've been doing for us for thousands of years, alerting us, being territorial. So, you know, to really honor the dogs, we need to understand how they communicate, and part of that is with aggression. So, very interesting book. There's a lot more to it, but that one really, really stuck out at me, and this was written in 1950. So I don't necessarily agree that a dog should be allowed to demand to be left alone while eating, but it's an interesting perspective and definitely a shift from modern times. Now, when we come back, I had a listener email me with a question about Invisible Fence. And so I'm actually going to be bringing Rebecca Murray on with Invisible Fence Northwest to answer that question directly. Since we're talking to Invisible Fence, we're going to be playing this song.
A little bit of an electric boogie. Hey, before we go to break, if people do have questions and maybe they can't catch the show live or they're just scared to call in, how do they email you with questions?
host@dogtalkshow.com. I love to hear from you. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Bido and Scratch on Facebook.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. And this week, that's pretty much what we'll be doing. Gifted Mystic, Robin Alexis will join me for the show, and together we'll be tuning into various groups of animals around the world. We'll ask them how they're doing and what they need and want from us humans. Animals have incredible wisdom to share, and we'll be tapping into that, so plan to join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. And we are on now with Rebecca Murray, a senior trainer with Invisible Fence Northwest. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Julie.
How do you like that Electric Boogie as your theme song?
Funny that you mentioned that, because in my mind I was thinking about a wedding reception I went to recently. We were all trying to remember how to do that. It's been a long time.
Yeah. I have to admit, I love the electric slide. I just do. And I love
don't know
it.
How good we look, but we tried our best.
And I love it for Invisible Fence, because it sort of goes on, you know, goes along with what you guys do.
Clever.
So we had, I had a listener actually email me with a question about Invisible Fence outdoor solutions. And so I thought, rather than answering it myself, I would have you on to answer it in your own words and, you know, better than I could directly.
Yes, we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it was a great question. And I really encourage people, if anyone has questions or, you know, show topic suggestions or something like that, please feel free to email me, host@dogtalkshow.com. The website is dogtalkshow.com, and all of our past shows are archived on that website. We're also available on iTunes as a free audio podcast, and you can also find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook fan page, which is Dog Talk Show. So Mary, a listener, wrote in to me and asked me, or she had said, I heard Invisible Fence, the Invisible Fence commercial on your radio show, and, you know, I've seen lots of great successes with both dogs and cats, but I did have a question, and she said, what about if a dog or animal is outside and confined to a yard and some other animal comes into the yard? So she was feeling like the animal might be trapped, whereas the other animal wasn't. And I said, that's a great question. And yeah. I know that we have talked about that, because I know you guys are very careful with making sure it's a good fit. But will you answer that for me?
Sure. And I had a number of thoughts about that question, and it is a good question and a valid concern. I guess one of the things that came to my mind, initially being in thousands of folks' yards over the 10 years I've been doing this, is that whether they have any kind of fence, chain link fence, 4-foot fence, picket fence, if an animal wants in, say a coyote, for example, it will come in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's an invisible fence where it can easily walk in, or a chain link fence where it can just leap over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to meet with people so that we can take a look at where they live, what kind of neighborhood, what kind of risks. You know, certainly if somebody lived out on 20 acres like I do, you know, I wouldn't have a chihuahua that I would allow out in the middle of my acreage so an eagle could come and mm-hmm. take it away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So we take all those things into consideration, and how people are managing their pets and how Invisible Fence can help. Certainly, we meet a lot of people who, the other thing that came to my mind is, so that wouldn't be any different with a chain link fence versus an invisible fence. If an animal wanted to come in, many animals can't,
mm-hmm.
either fly in or jump in. So mm-hmm. that would, having an escape route into the house, a dog door, a smart door that only allows your pets in,
mm-hmm.
with a special RF chip that doesn't allow other pets to follow it in,
mm-hmm.
those types of things. But the biggest risk that the pets have in getting into trouble is when they do leave the property mm-hmm. and they're not at home. So they can't be, that's when pets find themselves in all kinds of danger. When they end up in somebody else's yard, for example,
mm-hmm.
and they get chased down the street or beat up in that animal's yard. Or what we see a lot are people who are trying to find ways to keep their pets home in lieu of a fence, any kind of fence maybe even, mm-hmm. or they have a fence the pets are jumping over, so they'll tie the pet out, or they'll put it on a drag line or a zip line, and certainly those pets are at great risk when, if an animal comes in, a wild animal, they can't even get to the house.
Mm-hmm.
They have no escape. They're, like one customer told me a long time ago, he said he lived out in the country, and he was tying his dog to a tether pole, mm-hmm. and he said that a neighbor saw a bobcat enter the yard, and what a thing to come home to.
Mm-hmm.
Where your dog is dead on the end of a tether mm-hmm. that you've left him on, and the dog has no way to escape. So what we want to do when we meet with people is take a look not only at what their goals are and make sure they're appropriate. There are very few people who are going to want to let a small dog out on a large property. If we do invisible fence for them, typically we'll make the boundary very close to the house so they can go out and potty. Mm-hmm. And come back in, maybe be out with them when they're gardening and spending time with them and supervising them. Keep them out of the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep them out of harm's way, but keep them close to home. Same with cats, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Their boundaries are going to be closer into the house. And cats typically like being close to the house anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't want them to wander off too far. So I appreciate your listeners' concerns, and those are valid, but part of what we do is try to take everything into account and then help the customer design a system that's going to keep their pet the safest at all times.
Yeah. And that's how the company was founded, was around safety. I mean, the intention was, okay, here's a problem. You know, pets are getting out and getting killed by cars and traffic and stuff like that.
Right.
So what can we do to, you know, still give them a relative amount of freedom in the yard,
right?
And be able to,
aside from the aesthetic advantages of invisible fence, which, as you're aware, a pet wears a little collar, and we take a cable and we bury it around the property in whatever configuration we and the customer decide is going to keep the pet the safest and give them enhance their life with mm-hmm. their person. And so we bury that cable in the yard. It has a radio signal that radiates out from it a number of feet. And then we work with the pet and train it. And everybody's trained differently because we look at them all as individuals and everything's customized, whether it's a puppy or a 12-year-old husky.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand where that edge of that radio boundary is, when they reach that edge, they hear a little tone. They feel a little something. And that something is, again, different for every pet. And it's adjustable. We adjust it as a trainer. So mm-hmm. we're going to find that it's a little bit of static discharge, a little bit of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel it. We encourage all of our customers to feel it. It's not horrible. It's just we try to find that balance point for every pet that it's going to be enough where they say, you know what, that whatever it is, the deer or the car that I'd really like to chase beyond here, not that important anymore.
Right. And it depends, and like you were saying too, because you have some not just outdoor solutions, but indoor as well. So you can adjust different levels for different pets. You can also adjust like indoor reminders about, you know, staying
right.
out
and
of.
And for most pets, getting into the kitchen, or for most dogs, getting into the cat litter box, although it's wonderful, they. I understand. I haven't tried it myself, but it's a common struggle within a dog cat household that the dog likes to. The dog thinks the cat litter box is another source of food.
Right.
So we can easily just with a little reminder setting help that dog decide that food isn't that all that wonderful after all,
mm-hmm.
and eat from its own bowl of food.
Mm-hmm.
Versus we might need to let the dog feel something a little stronger, a little more meaningful, out in the yard when there's a cat, perhaps.
Or squirrel.
Beyond the fence that they'd really like to chase.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, customizing that both indoor and outdoors is all part of what we
do. Mm-hmm. And the training process is so interesting. I was able to shadow Georgia, who I've had on the show before, who's been with Invisible Fence Northwest for a very long time. She's one of the senior trainers as well. And, you know, to watch, it was a household that already had two pugs that were older, and they had an 8-month-old puppy, and who had not been trained to the Invisible Fence, and they had it indoors. And you know, I got to watch it, and as a trainer, it was just, it's similar to what I do in a different context, where you're really looking for the thought process, and you're looking for the dog to think about, you know, basically making that connection. Okay, what's causing this sensation? And at first, it's just a tickle. I mean, it's just a tickle, and they learn the association between that sensation, which is very, very mellow, with the boundary. And right. Then once they've learned that, once they learn what turns the collar on and off and that it's the boundary, then you adjust the level as needed so that it's high enough that the dog will not choose to cross it no matter what.
Yes, exactly. I talked to a customer just checking in the other day. He had a very, very rambunctious 8-month-old German Shepherd dog who was, for the most part, stuck in a kennel all day long. Bouncing up and down, that sort of energy. And one of the fastest dogs I've ever seen. So he decided, he was recommended, he worked with somebody who was a customer of ours, very happy customer. And so he thought, well, if it's going to work, Invisible Fence Northwest can make it work for my dog.
Mm-hmm.
So we had been out, we'd finished the second train, so the dogs are off leash in the yard, but not fully trained yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he let his dog, next door to him, he's got these folks with, like, motorcycles, and they have jumps and that sort of thing. And when his shepherd would be out previously, and he'd hear those motorcycles start up, and they were, like, you know, road racing in the, around their yard, his dog would race over and, of course, try to herd all of
right.
the motorcycles.
Right.
So he hears them start up, and his dog takes off full speed. He's running after the dog. The dog's run around the shed. It's out of sight. And in his mind, he was trying to prepare himself for what he would see, which is his dog in the other person's yard.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran around the shed, and there was his shepherd on his side of the yard, on his side of the boundary, running up and down the boundary,
mm-hmm.
not within the boundary, but like it was a regular fence
mm-hmm.
that it wasn't going to cross.
Right.
And it was just, it was, he said, I'll never forget that fear that I had.
Yeah.
And how happy I was when yeah. I saw my shepherd in my own yard.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll talk more with Rebecca Murray, senior trainer with Invisible Fence Northwest. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We're back with Rebecca Murray with Invisible Fence Northwest, one of our sponsors. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you very much.
So we're talking about a question that a listener had, which was great. If anyone has any questions about anything, really, feel free to email me, host@dogtalkshow.com. Our website is dogtalkshow.com. If you want to find out more about Invisible Fence products, you can go to their website, which is invisiblefencenw.com, and you can learn more about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. So we were talking about one part of the question that a listener had was about what about keeping other animals out? And, you know, that's something that you guys will look at when you go out to meet with a potential client. What is the intention of the fence? Right. What is the, you know, what is the surrounding? Is it somebody in a Seattle neighborhood with a small yard that's just wanting to have their dog, you know, give their dog more freedom and keep them safe and out of the road? Or is it someone who lives in a, you know, further out from the city who has, like you said, 20 acres? You're not going to want to let the Chihuahua out on the edge of the property.
Right.
Alone.
Yes.
So, you know, those are things that you probably make sure, I mean, I would consider common sense, but that I'm sure you guys really make sure people are clear about. You know, we can fence this area, but, you know, these are the things that you need to be careful about. You know, if it's a little dog, don't leave it outside, even if it was in a fenced yard.
Exactly.
Because owls and eagles and, you know, those types of things can come and swoop down and grab them.
Now, it's true that most people have thought of that, but I have run into folks where I'm the one to bring up, what about this and what about that? And they look at me and they say, "Well, that never crossed my mind."
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to install a system. We're not going to put a system in where we don't feel it's in the best interest and the safety and the health of all parties involved. And I can remember a couple times that come to mind as I'm talking about this that I had to turn folks down and say, you know, we can't do that. Like, for example, we're not going to design a system that prevents a dog from getting to the house or getting on the porch.
Right.
We're not going to design a system for a Chihuahua to have a free pass to a backyard that abuts a forest.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be anybody home for 8 hours. You know what? That's not going to work. We have to find something safer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to put a dog in a situation that sets them up to fail or sets them up to lose their life. And we most often can find a happy medium with customers in terms of that safety, balance, and freedom. But every now and then when we can't, we have to walk away.
Yeah.
It's not the best thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, like you said, they're not designed to keep pets away from the family. They are designed to keep pets in and safe.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's an interesting point because, you know, a lot of times what would have a dog run away is because they're isolated and they so badly need the connection. I mean, dogs are pack animals. They need, they're not lone animals. Like, cats can be more okay with just kind of being on their own.
Right.
Dogs are not. They need to be in a pack, and that's how they're wired for survival. So to, you know, it would be counterproductive to keep a dog out because, you know, a dog, if they're motivated enough, would probably bust through the fence if they were totally isolated.
Yeah, I think that that is the one thing. If a dog is not having its psychological, social needs met, it's going to find a way to get them met,
mm-hmm.
no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is one of the things that we look at. We take a look at the family dynamic and how much time. We ask a lot of questions about, you know, their life with their dog, their daily life, their weekend life, their evening life, and, mm-hmm. and get the and build that picture of that family and how the dog is a part of their life. And sometimes we have to recommend things like having a dog walker come over once a day. Because of those social psychological needs, they are so important to be met in order for Invisible Fence to be a success.
Mm-hmm.
Or doggy daycare.
Right.
If they can't do that.
Yeah. And most people, correct me if I'm wrong, but most people, and I know this is the case with my clients who are interested in Invisible Fence, either indoor or outdoor, but more importantly outdoor, I guess, for this topic, is that they want to be with their dogs more freely and naturally, and that's why they want it. They want to be able to be out in the yard, working on the garden,
yes.
working on the yard, and to have the dog with them,
yes.
but moving more naturally and not having to be, you know, on a leash or tied to something.
Everything.
Right. Right.
Barking at the window at them, Mom,
right.
I want to come out and be with you.
Right.
I know I'd like to have you out with me, but I know. Can't, you know, that sort of thing.
So just in a few minutes that we have left, I wanted to talk to you about the little portable units that you have that can be great for keeping dogs out of small areas, like away from the litter box or off of the counter or just for the doorway that goes, you know, like the front door. So you can get, your technology has gotten so precise that you can do little areas and actually keep a dog, you know, out of a litter box or away from a counter. So how does that work?
Also different rules for different dogs. So these are quickly becoming one of our most popular products, or pet-free solutions is what we call them. So I struggle with that name a little bit, pet-free. But it's sort of like pet-free from the kitchen, or pet-free from jumping on the counters, or pet-free from stealing food off of my baby's high chair. You know, that sort of...
Or a child that has an allergy and they need the dog to stay out of the bedroom or something.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
Or another popular one is to keep the dogs from bolting to the front door and kind of creating a little safe area for people to walk in, take their coats off, say hi, and then work on the dog's greeting behavior as
right.
a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for parents who are working with their dogs, they can oftentimes have a lot of control teaching their dog to sit, although, you know, it takes some work, as you know, as you're training people to be consistent and so forth, but their children aren't necessarily going to be.
Right.
So it takes the burden off of them not having to worry about the dog running out the front door. And,
right.
And that fear that something bad will happen.
Yeah. And it's not a substitution for training either. And that, you know, it's like not one or the other. They actually accomplish two different things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They dovetail so nicely together. It's wonderful for us when we're working with somebody who is working with a trainer like yourself so that we can combine goals and make this wonderful synthesis of learning for the family and for the pet.
Mm-hmm. So your guys' website is invisiblefencenw.com
mm-hmm.
for Northwest, and you have a lot of great information and other products in addition to your indoor and outdoor solutions.
Right, and you know, we're going to be at the home show starting on Saturday, actually. It runs for 10 days.
Oh, great.
And we have a drawing for a free pet-free indoor solution, and then we also have some specials at the show in terms of getting a discount on an outdoor solution.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I wanted to offer your listeners today in honor of Spay Day coming up next week
uh-huh.
is a $250 off on a solution, on an outdoor solution.
Oh,
for
great.
New customers.
Wonderful.
If they call before Spay Day, which is February 22nd.
All right. Before February 22nd, call and make an appointment for a consultation and you would qualify for $250 off the outdoor solutions. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for coming on and answering that question in person or over the phone. It was great. Always great to get information and share about your wonderful products. And so InvisibleFenceNW.com is their website. DogTalkShow.com is the website for the radio show. You can email me at host@DogTalkShow.com. And you can also check out my website for dog training and behavior, which is SensitiveDog.com. SensitiveDog, just one dog.com. I have an obedience class starting a week from today, February 23rd. So if you want more information about that, check out the website or you can send me an email, host@DogTalkShow.com. And we'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.